We come to our scripture reading, and it's taken from 1 Corinthians, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12. Chapter 12, reading from verse 12 right through to verse 31. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 12. One body with many members. For just as a body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, there would be the sense, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may be the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a little more excellent way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now we have our sister Connie to come and bring us God's word.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back here. Because the passage that we're looking at has something to do with the body, I thought I'll start with a mini pop quiz, a little biology science quiz, to see how much of basic science and biology we remember. Okay? So question number one. Why can't your nose grow to 12 inches long? Anybody know the answer? Because it would be a foot. Get it? Okay, question number two. Why didn't the skeleton go to the party? Anybody? Because he had no body to go with. Okay, no more corny jokes, all right? Now, this morning, we kind of round off our mini sermon series from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. By now, you would have a pretty good idea that the underlying theme of this mini-series is unity. Now, the main reason why we are stopping here at chapter 12 is simply because of time, not enough weeks. But nevertheless, I hope this doesn't stop you from reading all 16 chapters of 1 Corinthians. And I also believe that there is more than enough for us from the messages over the past 4 weeks or so in the series to not only reflect on, but to act on as His church. Before I get into the text for today, it's important to know the place of the text. Now, even though Pastor Dino read verses 12 to 31, I will actually not be looking at verse 31 because that actually belongs to a different discussion. From what we already know from the first 11 chapters, Paul has been addressing some important issues that have come up in the Corinthian church since he left. They were beginning to allow the culture of Corinth and the pre-conversion practices back into the church. In other words, they were facing the challenge of keeping Corinth out of the church. Our text for today is also part of a grouping of chapters, namely chapters 11 to 14, that focus on issues relating to worship in the church. Now, last week at SES, he didn't preach at the Sunday services, Pastor Victor preached on chapter 11 about oneness at the table, where the rich-poor divide within the Corinthian community was creating problems and Holy Communion. Now, in chapter 12, the spotlight is on the different spiritual gifts given by the Spirit to the church. With the message today, it's not primarily on the spiritual gifts. It is about how something that was given for the common good of the church was starting to threaten its unity. Now, to be clear, it's not the spiritual gifts themselves that was the problem, but it was the people giving more importance to some gifts over others. Now, to help us unpack verses 12 to 30, Paul uses a very helpful structure. He first gives a theological basis for his response to the issue. He then explains his thought process with the help of an analogy, and then he presents his response to the issue at hand. Okay? From the reading of the text, just by observing the number of times the word body, many, one, members, and parts appear, it is clear that the key theme is one body, many members. Now, Paul establishes the theological basis for his use of the one body analogy at the beginning of verses 12 to 13. So if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to keep it open at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 13. Okay? Now, the Corinthian way of life had many social stratas based on ethnicity, occupation, station in life, and even which God you worshipped. And in no uncertain terms, Paul reminds the church that these barriers and boundaries should no longer exist because all have been baptized into one body in the one Spirit and all receive from the same Spirit. Now, from this, we can gather that Paul is addressing an issue on what it means to be one body with many members. To explain his point, he uses the analogy of the body. And the first key point that Paul makes has to do with the sense of belonging. And to illustrate this, he gives voice to two parts of the body, the foot and the ear. So if you look at verses 14 to 15, you hear the foot say, Because I am not a hand, therefore I don't belong to the body. Or you hear the ear say, because I'm not an eye, therefore I don't belong to the body. Now if we observe closely, the foot and the ear have made a comparison. They have compared themselves with another part of the body. And they have concluded for themselves that because they are not a hand or an eye, then they don't belong to the body. Now let's think about this for a moment. Why would the foot or the ear say that? They have expressed a perception that the hand and the eye seems to have a better reason for being a part of the body. Now, perhaps the foot may be lamenting, my toes always get stepped on. I'm always dirty from walking on those dusty roads. People complain I'm smelly. Then when they look at me, they look down on me. Or the ear could be thinking, I'm always being pulled. Nobody says, oh, what beautiful ears you have. And they keep poking things into me. Now please, people don't even notice that I'm here. So out of sight, out of mind, might as well be out of the body, right? The hand, the foot and the ear seem to be saying they feel unseen, they feel useless, and they conclude that they are not part of the body. I'm not sure how many of you remember Toy Story. There is this toy that's called Mr. Potato Head. And you can actually remove the different parts of the face and then stick it to other parts of the face, right? Now, if Mr. Potato Head was around during Paul's time, the body parts probably won't be saying this. They said, okay, if I want to be the nose, I just pluck myself out and put myself where the nose is. But in reality, that cannot happen. Now, if every body part felt that only the hand was useful, then there would be only one part that could only do one thing. Imagine, just a hand. Will it be called a body? Not sure how many of you remember the Addams Family show. Okay, I do agree that perhaps it's not the most edifying show to watch, but they have a character that is actually just a hand. You only see the hand, right? Do you know what it's called? Do you know what the hand is called? It's not called handy. It's called thing. That is its name. Thing. And if you're just one part, you will not be called a body. You will probably be called a thing. Now, saying that they don't belong to the body doesn't negate the fact that the foot and the ear belong to the body. To counter this flawed self-perception, Paul reminds them in verse 18 that God himself arranged it such that there are many members and all members of one body. So it is not for the foot or the ear to say that they are not part of the body. It is God who determined that they are. Without them, there would be no body. No members, no body. Now, if in this first scenario, the parts are saying, you don't need me, Paul highlights a second scenario when another part says, I don't need you. Now, when someone says, I don't need you, there is a tone of superiority and also self-sufficiency. He's basically saying, I can do it all. I don't need the rest of you. Now, it's interesting that in this analogy, Paul uses the head. We all think that the head is a very important organ or part of your body, right? The head is where the brain is. It's like the HQ for 4 out of the 5 main major senses. But Paul says, hang on, reality check. The parts, they may not seem to be important to you because you don't see them, or they seem to be doing a very small job. They are actually sometimes more necessary than the parts that are seen. I like how Eugene Peterson expresses this in his paraphrase of this passage in The Message. Now listen to this. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body you are concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? Now, I think this would speak very much to all the foodies out there. You'd rather be bald than hungry, right? Correct or not? Now, don't for one second think that you are more important than another and that you don't need them. Paul goes on to say, but God so composed the body that there is no division, but that the members of the body will have the same care for one another. Paul reiterates what he says in verse 18. God is the one who has put all the different parts together. And in verse 26, he extends it to say that not only is each part a member of the body, but they are to care for one another. Now, I don't know about you, but the messages from 1 Corinthians in the previous weeks have actually been challenging me quite a bit as they deal with human relationships. Now, for me, the most challenging message was Pastor Victor's sermon on Wronged for Christ. Now, as I reflected on it, what was constantly going on in my head was, but this, but that, but this person did this to me, leh. How can I just forgive him like that? Then I realized that in such circumstances, the most important words I needed to hear is, but God. Now, imperfect human relationships involve risk and cost. But if we remember what it costs Jesus to reconcile our relationship with God, then let's pray that we are open to what God can do in us so that we can reconcile even the most difficult relationships. But the reality is, and I was recently reminded by Bishop Rennes, that we have to accept the fact that some relationships can only be restored when Jesus comes again. But let's hope that list is very short. If every part of the body understands that we have been carefully and lovingly created and placed where they are by God, and we acknowledge each other's place in the body and that we need each other, will we not take care of each other so that each part is healthy and are able to play their part well? And if we care for one another at that level, will we also not feel for one another if one is going through a time of suffering or even celebration? Now, for example, if you have ever had a broken toe, how many of you have had a broken toe before? Yeah, I see a couple of hands at the back. You know that it's not just the toe that's hurting, right? It's the whole body that is affected. But the wonderful thing is that the different members of the body start doing their part to help the toe heal. Now, the eyes will look out to make sure that they don't bump, they don't walk into something. The hand and arms are ready to help steady the body. And the feet seem to walk more slowly, and they all work together to help this one toe heal. Now Paul brings it home for the church in Corinth in verse 27 when he says, "You are the body of Christ, together as one body and each as a member of the body." Now as I mentioned before, the Corinthians are used to hierarchy and comparison. Who has the shinier chariot? Who has more slaves? Who is the chairman of this association or that trade guild? Now Paul is telling them, this is not what the church looks like. The church is a living, breathing organism. A body where every member is dependent on one another to grow and to thrive. He also goes on to list the different roles and some of the different gifts. But what he's trying to say, and he does this by using a rhetorical question to bring home the point that all these things are there for a reason, but none is more important than the other. So how does this look like for us in SGSM? Now I see it being applied at two levels, at a personal level and at a corporate level. Now at a personal level, if we identify with the foot or the ear and say that if I'm not like this person or that person, then I really don't belong here, it could mean a couple of things. Number one, we don't feel we're important or useful enough. Or number two, we are made to feel that we don't belong. Now, if we feel we are not important or useful, I believe God is saying, trust Him. His word tells us in Psalm 139 that He created us in our mother's womb, that He has a good and perfect plan for us. So stop comparing yourself with others. God has given all of us different personalities, different gifts. We look different. We sound different, we think differently, we do things differently. And actually, that's the way it was meant to be. Where He has placed you is not an afterthought, okay? He didn't put you in a junk drawer. You know that drawer where you just check everything that doesn't seem to belong anywhere else? He didn't put you there. Now, the worst thing to happen is that we don't want to be who God has made us to be. We want to be something else. We want to do something else. And because of that, what happens is we become a half-hearted self. We feel miserable, and probably in the process, we make others feel miserable as well. Now, can we learn from David when he says in Psalm 16, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." Can we learn to be content with whom God has made us to be and where He has placed us in? Now, if a person in our community is made to feel that they don't belong, then it's time for us as a community to ask ourselves, what have we done to make this person feel that way? Do we have a culture of comparing one with another? Do we give more importance to more visible or prominent gifts or ministries? Now God says everyone has a place and belongs to the body of Christ, where you can flourish and give glory to Him. Don't let your self-perception or the perception of others exclude yourself or others from the body. Now let's look at the corporate level. Now you might be asking, are we doing this series because SGSM has a problem with unity? Now, I think we're actually doing okay, lah. There are no major division, no major fighting happening. can be some grumbling, some murmurings, all part of being a community, but no major divisions yet. We cannot be complacent. Now, division has happened in SJSM's history before, and it can happen again if we are not careful. And we may also be in quite a vulnerable state as a church and as a community because of the major transitions that we've had to undergo and will undergo this year. Last weekend, we were reminded by Reverend Tan Siang Yang that in 1 Peter 5, we need to be sober-minded and watchful. The devil is prowling around like a lion, ready to pounce. Don't let the evil one get a foothold and sow seeds of division. We need to hear what God is saying. God is showing us how to build, strengthen, and protect the unity in our church. Now, I'm not sure if you realize it, but SJSM is considered a mega church because it has a membership size of at least 2,000. Now, mega church then means many people, many different people, many needs, variety of gifts, varieties of service, varieties of activities. All that is present in SJSM and in the church in Corinth. If you read chapter 12, it says that it has varieties of service, varieties of gifts, varieties of activities. Now, if we don't take heed of what Paul is telling the Corinthian church, we can easily fall into the trap of allowing our way of thinking and doing things to threaten our unity. And to keep that at bay, God says, care for one another. In Philippians, Paul writes, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, I don't think I need to tell you how to care for one another. But let me just share one example of how one SJSM's action beautifully exemplified the kind of care that God wants us to show. Now, this SJSM went to the wake of one of the members, even though he didn't know the deceased or the family. Now, his reason for being there was simply because this grieving family is a part of SJSM. I'm also privileged to witness a few good men rallying around someone in crisis by offering practical help, offering their presence and support, knowing that this is for the long haul. There are many among us who are hurting, and I think it grieves the Lord when the rest of the body is not aware. Now, I'm not talking about being kepo, okay? I actually know that there are people who don't want to be part of a group because they don't want to share personal matters. Now, on the one hand, I understand and respect their need for privacy. But on the other hand, if the reason for them not wanting to be part of a group is because they don't want people to gossip, then we really need to ask ourselves if our community, ourselves, our ministries are safe places for people to be themselves and share their hurts and their joys. Now again, I quote Eugene Peterson, if one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. We want unity not for unity's sake. The goal is not just that we can get along with one another and work together. Those are evidences of unity. But I think the goal is twofold. Firstly, the church is to be a witness for the world to know who God is. Now, what kind of witness would we be if there's constant squabbling, infighting, and chaos? God has made us a new creation. He has put a new heart in us. He has shown a new way of being. He has given His Spirit in us so that we can show the world that Jesus is not only a better way, but Jesus is the only way. Secondly, unity in the church is important because there will be persecution. There will be tough issues that the church will need to deal with. And if the church is divided, it is less likely to survive through this. To embrace unity in the body, we need to first embrace the truth that the body is made up of many different members, and they belong to the body of Christ by God's design. Everyone has an important part to play, big or small. And I don't think God even looks at whether it's big or small. Every service done unto the Lord pleases Him. And when we understand that and we embrace that, not only can we truly care for one another, we can care for one another in a way that pleases Him. And we, as a community and His body, are the stronger for it. And a greater wisdom, a greater witness for Him. As I end this message, I remember a song from 20 years ago, probably more than 20 years ago, by the band Casting Crowns. Not sure if you remember this band. The song is called If We Are the Body. And if you want to listen to it, just Google the title of the song. Now the verse of the song paints a picture, or the verses of the song paint a picture of people who come into the church but sit in the back and they try to fade into the background because they don't want people to stare at them or to make snide remarks about how different they are. What I put up here is the chorus. But if we are the body, why aren't His arms reaching? Why aren't His hands healing? Why aren't His words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't His feet going? Why is His love not showing them there is a way? Jesus paid too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come. And we are the body of Christ. I think the lyrics of this song speak so clearly to us of how the body needs to be if we are truly the body of Christ. And as the church, and as JSM especially, we have no excuse to say we don't know this because it's in our vision statement. You see it week in and week out. It says, we aim to be a witnessing community of praying and caring worshippers. And each time we gather around the Lord's table for Holy Communion, we are reminded of these verses that you have looked at today when we share the peace. Does this look familiar to you? We say this so often that actually I all should remember this by heart, no? But if you don't worry, it's there. When we say these words, we declare that we are the body of Christ. We recognize that we are one because we have been baptized in one Spirit. And we make a commitment to pursue, meaning we actively seek out ways towards peace and unity. So I'm going to ask you to do something. I don't think it will be inappropriate for us to make this pledge today on a non-Holy Communion Sunday. I checked with Pastor Dino and he said, okay. So if we are able to, can we all stand? Can we all stand? If you are able to, okay, you'll stand. Can we link hands, arms, elbows, link together? If you can, join up across the aisles. If you don't want to hold hands, you can also maybe like just do fist bump and things like that, right? Okay. And let us declare this with conviction. I will hold Simon's hand. Okay. We will declare this with conviction. And don't worry, I'm not going to make you go and shake hands with five people you don't know. But let's declare this with conviction together and as a prayer. Okay, hold, remember this by heart. Okay, the words are there. Are we ready? Okay, one, two, go. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be with you and also with you. Amen. Thank you so much. I hope what we have heard today will really just encourage us to look at ourselves, to look each other in the way God sees us. And may that draw us closer together as His church and as His community. Thank you and God bless you.